chapter number 12. Numbers chapter 12. As we are continuing on in our study here of this book of Numbers, you remember last time there in chapter number 11, the 70 elders are chosen. And I believe, and I'm telling you now, in as we get into chapter number 12, I believe, this is my opinion on this, but I believe the context bears this out, so I want you to understand that. There's no specific thing in chapter 12 that speaks to what I'm going to tell you, but given the context, I believe that's it. But again, it's my opinion, so I just want you to see that as we carry on. But I do want you to remember what took place here in chapter 11. God told Moses to choose those 70 elders. He took the chieftains of each of the tribes and made them elders with him. And God took of the spirit that was on Moses and put it on those 70 elders. Those 70 elders, having received that portion of the Spirit of God on them, they began to prophesy. And they were prophesying together. There were those that were the two that were out in the camp that were prophesying out there, remember? And Joshua gets angry about them prophesying instead of Moses. And he says, Moses, tell them stop. They shouldn't be doing that. And Moses said, no, don't. That's what the Lord has done. I'm not going to tell them stop. I would that all Israel would be prophets, he said. And so this is taking place here, okay? Then we come to chapter 12. And we see this, what takes place here in chapter 12. And I believe the choosing of these, what I was talking about a moment ago, I believe the choosing of those elders sparked this event that happens here in chapter number 12. Now, they don't claim that. Miriam and Aaron, they claim something else, but given the context of what's just happened with the choosing of these 70 elders, I believe it played a role here in what's taking place in chapter number 12. What happens here is Miriam and Aaron rebel against Moses here in this passage, chapter number 12. And they begin to question Moses' leadership and whether or not he knew what he was doing or not. And God shows his displeasure with them. In fact, Miriam will be struck with leprosy because of her rebellion against Moses. So notice with me what takes place here in this passage. Miriam and Aaron, verse number 1, spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Now Moses remarries. This is supposedly after Zipporah, his wife, died. Moses remarries. He marries an Ethiopian woman. We're not told her name here, but it may be that she was part of the mixed multitude that came with them out of Egypt. Likely that was the case. She was one of those that had decided to come with the Hebrews as they were leaving Egypt and crossing the desert. And here Moses marries this lady and takes her to wife. And they use this, I believe, given what takes place in chapter 11, I believe they're using this as an excuse to get mad at Moses. I think this all stems from the jealousy, because listen to what they go on and say here, verse number 2. They said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, "Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation." And they three came out. Well, Moses, remember, chapter 11, God said, "Choose him 70 elders, and I'm going to put my spirit upon them." Guess which two Moses did not choose? He did not choose Aaron, and he did not choose Miriam to be either one of those 70 elders. He chose one of each of the tribe of Israel there. They were the 70 elders. They were endued with that That spirit of God from Moses, God took that portion from Moses, gave it to them. They were the ones prophesying. Now they are put in charge, and now suddenly Aaron, and especially Miriam, Aaron's still the high priest, but especially Miriam, she's taking a back seat now. She has no, quite frankly, she had none to begin with, but she was just there. And so she, what it appears to be here is there's a jealousy that has arisen, in Miriam, especially because she's the one that's kind of spokesman on this. And we'll see here, Aaron's kind of brought into it. You see how Aaron is often just kind of brought into these situations? He's the one that made the golden calf. When the people, make us a god. Well, all right, I'll make you a god. Here Miriam said, I'm angry at Moses. Well, all right, I'm angry at Moses too. he kind of gets brought into these situations and led in. He's apparently easily manipulated. Old Aaron is, but here there's a jealousy that has arisen in them, and they are using. It appears they are using the fact that Moses married an Ethiopian woman as well. Obviously Moses is no better than us. I mean, he married this Ethiopian woman. Why is it we're just as important? We've spoken too before, and we have just as much. We should have just as much authority as Moses has got. And so there appears to be a jealousy that's arisen because they were not included with these 70 elders. Now, as I said, that's my opinion of the situation. Given the context, I believe that's what's taken place. But here, their complaint against Moses is this Ethiopian woman that he has taken to wife. And they use that as a means of attack against him. Well, his first wife was a Midianite, and they didn't have no problem with that. But now his second wife is an Ethiopian, and that's the one they're raising Cain about, supposedly, here. And so God hears their complaints. Now, verse 3, we have a description of Moses given here. And because this description is in the Bible, a lot of people say, well, Moses apparently was not the one that wrote the book of Numbers, because Moses wouldn't have wrote that about himself and then be claiming that he was one of the meekest man on the face of the earth. That wouldn't be very meek if Moses is writing about his meekness, would it? But that's not the case. Moses is the writer here. The scripture declares that to us, that he is the writer. He is writing the words that God would have him to write. This is what the Spirit of God has moved Moses to write, and this is the reason Moses wrote verse number 3 concerning his meekness, is because this is what the Spirit of God wanted Moses to write, to show forth his meekness. And so Moses, by no means, the point is here, Moses was not in any way, he had done nothing, I should say, to provoke this jealousy in Miriam and Aaron. This was not something that Moses was trying to stir up. This was not something that he was trying to bring to pass before them. This was not anything at all on Moses' mind here. He was just simply concerned with leading Israel where God would have them to go. And so verse 4, the Lord calls them to himself there, to the tabernacle of the congregation, and they three came out, it tells us. And then verse 5, it says, the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud, and he stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. So he says, when I'm dealing with prophets, he says, I speak to them by visions and dreams. I give them these things. They know this is my message that they are to be declaring. They know this is my message that they are to go forth with because of these visions and these dreams that I have given them. By the way, God's visions and God's dreams always match with God's word. We have a lot of people today that are claiming to be prophets and are not. Prophets Prophets will always speak the word of God. They will always agree with the word of God. We have a great many today that are calling themselves prophets, and the only thing they are preaching and the only thing they are speaking are things that are contrary to the word of God or absolute opposite of the word of God. I guarantee you, I tell you most assuredly, they are not the prophets of God. I don't care what they claim. I don't care how many people's watching their television program. I don't care how much money they're getting because of it. If they disagree with this word, if they speak contrary to the doctrine of the scriptures, they are not prophets of God. Are not, you say. But God says, his prophets, he said, this is how he does it. That's how he did it at this time. Now we have the fullness of the word of God, and we have the word of God before us. But here he says, in this time, he would speak to them by visions and dreams. That's how he would bring a prophet to this work and to do this thing. But he says, my servant Moses is not so. My servant Moses is not so. Who is faithful. Now here he takes away all their complaints. Who is faithful in all mine house. Moses is doing exactly what I wanted him to do. Moses is doing exactly what I have commanded him. He is faithful in all mine house, the Lord said. But Moses was not like a prophet. Moses was, in the sense that God is speaking of him here, Moses was extraordinary compared to the other servants of God. Because God chose him out to do this work, and in choosing him out to do this work, he tells us there in verse number 8, he says, with him will I speak mouth to mouth. He even apparently, or in other words, not in code or not in riddle or not in parables, but he says, I speak plain to him. I speak to him mouth to mouth, face to face, is another way that it's used in the scriptures. He says, with him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently or straightforward, not in secret and not in dark speeches, he says. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. When God spoke to him, he showed himself in some form as Moses was receiving instruction from the Lord. Whether it was in the pillar of fire, whether it was in the pillar of the cloud, whether it was the burning bush, whether it was all of Sinai and smoke and on fire there, in every way the Lord has revealed himself, and even in that one instance, the hinder parts of him as he passed by, covering Moses there in the cleft of the rock, seeing even a physical form of him. In some way, every time God speaks with Moses, there is something revealed there, a form of God revealed there to Moses as Moses is receiving this instruction. God said, this is not how I've spoken to any of my prophets. This is different. I speak to him face to face. I speak to him openly and plainly, and he sees some form of me when I am speaking to him. And so he says there in verse 8 again, he says, with him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently not in dark speeches, and similitude to the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And in other words, you all know how I've spoken to Moses. You all have heard me declare these things to him. You all have heard what Moses has seen and the things that he has witnessed of me when I've spoken to him. What makes you think? How dare you question or bring charges against Moses? The Lord here is really defending Moses. Now remember, Moses is just a man. He's just like us. He's a sinner just like us. but he was doing the work of the Lord. God had called him to this specific work, and God was blessing him specifically in a way that none other had been blessed before to receive such revelation and such instruction. And here God is saying he has called Moses to this purpose. And why were they not afraid? Knowing how Moses had received this instruction, why were they not afraid to declare such things, to rebel against Moses' leadership? And so he says, verse 9, the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. So he come down in that pillar of cloud there, spoke to them there at the tabernacle, and the pillar of cloud lifts up after he speaks these things to them. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous. Why didn't Aaron become leprous? Because apparently it was Miriam that had led this, and Aaron was kind of brought along. I'm just chuckling to myself as I read this. Every place we find Aaron in trouble, it's because he's just kind of following along. It's where he's just kind of being led. And so here, Miriam receives this leprosy. White as snow. She's covered up with it. She's ate up with this leprosy. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. It was the priest, it was the high priest's job to declare the leprosy. In fact, if someone thought they had leprosy, they were to go present themselves to the priest. And upon presenting themselves to the priest declared, yeah, you got leprosy. Then that person was to be taken out of the camp. They were not allowed presence in the camp any longer. And so Aaron looked, yep, that's what you got. You got leprosy. And so she's put then out of the camp because of this leprosy that's come upon her. That's the reason it tells us Aaron looked upon her, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. So Aaron goes to Moses and intercedes before Moses on behalf of Miriam and himself, that the sin of their rebellion would not be laid against them, because they were just being foolish, being jealous. Let her not be as one dead, he said, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. He said, please don't let her die. Don't let her be destroyed physically because of this disease. Do something about it, Moses. And so it says, verse number 13, Moses cried unto the Lord. So Moses goes and intercedes for them before the presence of the Lord. Moses cried, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days. And after that, let her be received in again. He said, this is for her shame. 7 days, she's going to face this guilt. For 7 days, she's going to face this shame. She's going to bear this, in other words. He wasn't going to heal her right away. She was going to have to face the consequences of her sin. A lot of times the Lord in his mercy removes the consequences of our sin. I mean, we look back on our lives and we see that many times we failed him, and the many times we've come short, and the many times we've made stupid decisions and went stupid directions and went the wrong way and did silly things that we shouldn't have even been a part of. And many times God in his grace has kept us from the consequences of the sin that could be on us. Oh, how many times has he held back and been merciful in our wickedness and in our sin? And yet then there are other times when that mercy of God is seen in our lives with the consequences. that whatever came because of that sin, we've had to face it. And we've had to endure it. And the consequences come. And we've had to go through that consequence and live through that. And bear even that shame in that consequence because of our sin against Him. Here, this is the same thing He's doing with Miriam here. She's going to bear that consequence. Everyone's going to know. Everybody's going to see that shame on her for those 7 days. And so for 7 days, this leprosy would last. For 7 days, she would be out from the camp. But then He says, let her be shut out from the camp 7 days. And after that, let her be received in again. And so for 7 days, she was going to bear this. But after those 7 days were done, she's going to be made clean. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. So they didn't go anywhere while she was separated from the camp. There even we see even again God's mercy there toward her. Yeah, she's bearing the consequence, but He didn't make it harder on her, as hard as it could have been on her. Because all the rest of the lepers, when the camp moved, they had to follow along. They just wouldn't allowed to be a part of the rest of the congregation as they moved. They had to remain separate from the camp. But here He left them in that place while this 7 days was going on for Miriam to face these consequences here of her rebellion. And then she was brought in again there, it tells us, verse 15, and afterward the people removed from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. So they're still there in the wilderness of Paran. They were on the outskirts of it. They're coming up in, again, right on the border. In fact, in chapter 13, we find them there in Kadesh Barnea. And Kadesh Barnea is right on the border of Canaan there. Right on the border of Canaan. And that's where chapter 13 takes place. This is when they're going to send the spies into the land. And we'll, Lord willing, cover that on Sunday. Let's all stand and we'll be dismissed tonight.